I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Holly Kayes, a reporter for the Smoky Mountain News. Holly, thank you for coming in today.
Always good to be here.
So first, tell us the process of the Eastern Band of Cherokee elections this year. What's on the ballot? When will people be voting? And just sort of the process of the election itself.
Elections are held every 2 years, an odd number of years for the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians. There are 12 seats on tribal council, and they're all up for election every election cycle. However, it's only every 4 years that voters get the chance to elect a chief and vice chief. So this is a chief's election. On the ballot is the chief's office, the vice chief's office, 12 council members, which is two representatives for each township, and there are also three school board seats on the ballot.
So what's the schedule for the election, and how many people are on the ballot? Because you've been trying to corral all the people that are running this year, and that's quite a bit, as you're going to tell us here. So tell us what the schedule of the election is, and then tell us how many people are running.
Absolutely. Well, some voting has already begun. Absentee ballots were available as of May 1st, and early voting began on May 13th. The actual primary election will be held on Thursday, June 6th. Currently, there are 55 people running for office. That's five chief candidates, eight vice chief candidates, and then 36 candidates for 12 tribal council seats. That includes one write-in candidate. And then there are six candidates for three school board seats.
So you've been putting together a voter guide for the Smoky Mountain News. You've been seeking out answers from all the candidates. You've gotten some, not all, but you've gotten some. What sorts of issues are getting discussed right now?
Well, there, as you can imagine, there's many candidates, so there are a diversity of issues that are important to various candidates. Some themes I have seen are interest in improving transparency and ethics in tribal government, a lot of concern regarding economic diversification. Candidates want to see less reliance on casino revenues to keep the tribe prosperous. And they also want to see better stewardship and policy surrounding finances. Of course, health issues such as the opioid crisis are always at issue. And so various candidates have ideas about that as well.
This is the first election for chief since 2015. The prior chief who won in 2015, Patrick Lambert, was impeached in between then. So this is the first election since then. How much is that being discussed? And you mentioned a lot of things talking about transparency in tribal government. How much is that also playing into what happened in these 4 years in between chief elections that's affecting this particular election?
Well, there has been one other election between the impeachment and now. That was in 2017, but that was not a chief's election. That was just for tribal council. The current chief, Principal Chief Richard Sneed, was actually elected in 2015 as the vice chief, not as the principal chief. He was sworn in as principal chief following the impeachment. So he'll be seeking his first elected term as principal chief. And there are many people in the tribe who didn't feel the impeachment was just for various reasons, and they would perhaps like to see somebody else in that office. The impeachment was really a controversial and very emotional issue for a lot of people. So those feelings and that fallout doesn't just disappear. So even though the candidates themselves have not necessarily mentioned the impeachment in their responses to the voter guide, and I haven't asked about it either, to be fair, it is definitely at the backdrop, and you hear people bring it up a lot still when you're out and about in Cherokee.
So just remind us, what was that impeachment of Patrick Lambert over, and how might that, again, illuminate the fact that this is still sort of lingering in this election for chief, since it's the first election since then, why that is still sort of lingering, the outcome of that particular incident?
There were 12 charges in the articles of impeachment against Patrick Lambert back in 2017. He was not found guilty on all of them, but on the overwhelming majority of them. The charges, there were 12 of them, so it would take some time to list all of them. One of them dealt with a contract he'd signed with the tribal casino gaming enterprise after his election as chief, but before swearing in. Entering into a contract with them to lease some rooms from the hotel that he owned. And the charge there was that contract violated a tribal law stating that elected officials can't enter into contracts with tribal entities. There was a charge dealing with payment he gave to his law firm or to his attorney for services rendered prior to taking his oath of office. They said he was acting as chief before he was sworn in. There was a charge relating to them saying that he had violated a tribal law that required approval for contracts over a certain dollar amount. So there were several different charges, but many people who oppose the impeachment believed that the impeachment was not actually over those charges. They believed it had something to do with an audit that Lambert had completed, and that resulted in an FBI investigation and confiscation of documents from the Quala Housing Authority. And there were many people on the Quala boundary who believed that the impeachment was more about retaliation for that than about actual wrongdoing.
So as we go into this chief election, the incumbent is on the ballot, though he has not been elected to this particular post before. He assumed it after the impeachment. One of the other candidates running has been caught up in a court battle to get on the ballot. Tell us who she is and what the court battle is over.
Teresa McCoy, at the time of the impeachment, was a tribal council member representing Big Cove. She's been on tribal council for about 20 years, and she was one of the three who was adamantly opposed to the impeachment. She chose not to run in 2017, but this time around signed up to run for the office of principal chief. She'd been considered a front runner against the incumbent principal chief Richard Sneed. However, McCoy's basically had some obstacles involved in getting herself on the ballot. The tribal law includes a certification process for candidates. There's various qualifications for office and various disqualifications. The one that's caused McCoy some trouble is a law that prevents candidates who have defrauded the tribe from running for office. On April 1st, when the other candidates were getting their letters informing them they'd been certified for as candidates for the election, McCoy got a letter saying that she was not going to be certified. And that decision related back to events that happened more than 20 years ago, back in 1996. So at that time, McCoy and her sister-in-law attended a Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act consultation at the University of Alabama. The tribe had given them a travel advance to pay for transportation and lodging, meals, that kind of thing. However, after they returned, the University of Alabama sent them each a check for $1,500. $1,000 of that was an honorarium. The remaining was to cover travel expenses. The election board said that the incident qualified as defrauding the tribe because she'd accepted the money after the tribe had already reimbursed her for those costs. They said she should have repaid that travel advance to the tribe and diverted the consultation fee as well because she was already being compensated for her time as a tribal council representative. And they also said that she aided and abetted another in defrauding the tribe because she cashed her sister-in-law's check for her. McCoy's argument has been that she didn't knowingly make any false statements, that she was entitled to the advance when she took it, and that there was no policy in place at the time that would have required reconciliation of travel expenses. And she's also raised the issue that this incident was well known at the time. The Tribal Council in 1997 held a hearing on it and declined to take further action against her. And a couple months later, she ran for office. Again, not only was she certified, but she was the top vote getter in her community. And she's run in every election between 1997 and 2015. Anyway, so on April 9th, the election board held a hearing to McCoy's appeal of their decision. And the next week, they upheld their decision. And so McCoy appealed that to the Cherokee Supreme Court, which is a process outlined in tribal law. The day after she filed the appeal, the court ordered a stay of the election board's decision and set a hearing date for the next Monday, April 29th. After 4 hours of arguments from both sides, the court adjourned, and at 10 p.m. that day, so really just 5 hours after the hearing ended, the court issued a decision ordering the board to certify McCoy. So an opinion on that's forthcoming, so we don't know their reasoning. We just know their conclusion at this point. So on May 1st, the board certified her.
Holly Kays of the Smoky Mountain News, thank you for coming in.
Good to be here.